Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I am 73. I work 40 hours a week. I take Balance of Nature pretty much religiously. One day, about 2 weeks ago, I cleaned a house that was 3.5 hours, another one that was 2.5 hours, another one that was 3.5 hours, and then I cleaned a commercial building and then cleaned half of another building. I got home at 10 o'clock at night. And who can do that at 73? Balance of Nature actually gives me quite a bit of energy. It's just amazing that fruits and vegetables could actually fix your problems. I don't have to have like coffee and whatever. I just take these and I have the energy.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Stay with me. Let's just breathe.
Hi there, welcome back. Yeah, it's a great lesson. Just breathe. I feel like nobody can breathe right now. You walk around and it's tough out there. A little Willie Nelson on his cover of Just Breathe. Welcome back to the show. A big thank you to Alan Stevo for coming on.
That was awesome.
He is so good. And I really love having him as a recurring guest because he nails it, number one. Totally gets it. His journalism pieces are awesome. And his book, Face Masks in One Lesson, it really is a really thorough book of how to get that backbone back, how to get that courage. Because we are setting an example for these kids. When I see kids with masks, I want to cry. Because those parents are making those kids wear masks. And I walk into stores all the time. I just walk in like I own it. I don't put up with 2 seconds of somebody even wanting to come talk to me. I just walk in. And we've got to get courage back in this nation. If we can't stand up to this, how do we ever get the country back? I mean, this is just ridiculous. And he made such a fantastic point, and that was that it started with a fraudulent election that was very blatant, obvious to see. And all of a sudden, you start getting people with no courage as we kind of spiral downward. And the vaccine is next. And it's a gene therapy. It's not a vaccine. There's no COVID in it. It's a gene therapy shot. You really want to be their guinea pig for that?
Well, our whole population is quite dispirited by it. You know, I tell people when I can, I see a lot of despair in my chair from just the social isolation and the facial isolation.
You're dealing with a lot of elderly. They come in and they're almost in tears.
The most vulnerable people are the ones that are having the hardest time with all of the, you know, just the isolating effects of our response to this.
I've asked Dr. Paul Gooch to come in and talk a little bit about the Republic, kind of getting us back to our roots, because we have to have some really big lessons in why we have the government we do. Last time I checked, we still have a constitution. We're the only civilization to fight oppression with a constitution so unique and unlike any other.
Right.
And so if we have that in our arsenal, we should be able to fight this. But what we need is courage and we need education. And you were talking so eloquently in the last hour. You also shared it in a local hour we did about the reason that the founding fathers kind of looked at the Indian nation as the form of government that they were using as inspiration.
Right.
Because it worked. The 13 arrows.
So let's take James Wilson's, his suggestion that we ransack the records of history, because really the fix to our problem, the loss of connected control that is allowing a government to just run wild, women's government gone wild. And the fix to it is Republican forms of government. That's what we've been talking about, the word republic. And
we're not talking about the party.
Not the party.
That's completely hijacked by Mitt Romney.
Right.
We're not talking about that. Yeah.
And so really we're saying to people all over America, you need to gather again in your states and learn what this means. And going to history helps. And this is why we're talking. I love the story of the Iroquois, because our founding fathers, they had looked to the Old Testament for clues on how to run a republic, but the living example, the example they could go and see in action was the Iroquois Nation.
Right.
The Iroquois Nation and Chief Canisataga, made fast friends with Benjamin Franklin. Canisategas is here. Let me show you how this works. Here's an arrow. Break it over your knee. It's easy. Here's 13 arrows, which represented, I'm not sure. I don't remember why he picked 13, but break 13 arrows over your knee and you can't do it. And what's the object lesson here is the Iroquois Nation is strong because we're united, but it's organized in a way to protect the rights of the individual tribes, the individual members, the individual polities.
Representation close to home.
Yeah, there's an organizational secret, and that's what we've lost. And so
we don't have a democracy. It's not mob rule.
The Constitution guarantees every state a Republican form of government. Right now, as far as I can see it, there are zero states in the Union with Republican forms. The Republican forms we're talking about as they meant it. So I wanted to bring up this. There's a lot of argument about, you know, parties, political parties, and they're both so corrupt. I mean, they honestly
are. And
so is the answer more political parties? And my response to that is, well, what stops the third or the fourth or the fifth party from becoming just as corrupt as the two we already have? If we're not living Republican forms of government, we don't have connected control. So it doesn't matter how many or how few political parties we have. If we don't have the connected control of them, then there's nothing to stop that corruption from happening. The answer is not even necessarily term limits, right?
Right.
Because the system is corrupt.
We learned our lesson in the presidential.
The system is
corrupt. Look at the presidential term limit. It didn't work.
The best type of term limits is an engaged public living the Republican forms and retiring people who need to be retired.
Yeah, elections are term limits. We already have them, but nobody uses them.
Right.
Yeah.
So democracy is such an interesting thing. And every state has replaced their Republican forms with democracy, forms of democracy. And that's part of why it's hurting us. And our founding fathers were afraid of it. Like, if you want to go back to the historical language, there's so many things we can learn from the opposite, too. You know, we've been talking about republic, but John Marshall said that, he said, between a balanced republic and democracy, the difference is like that between order and chaos. Thomas Jefferson said, this is a letter to Henry Dearborn in 1822, without becoming familiarized with the habits and practices of self-government, the political vessel is all sail and no ballast, right?
Yeah.
Without our neighborhood councils, all sail and no ballast. Thomas Jefferson said to Edward Everett in 1824, the qualifications for self-government in society are not innate. They are the result of habit and long training, which is why the institutionalization of the neighborhood councils, so it's an ongoing thing. It has to become part of the culture, right?
Right?
We've lost that everywhere.
Right.
Thomas Jefferson said to Samuel Kercheval in 1816, the spirit of our people would oblige even a despot to govern us republicanly. Oh, look, there's that word. I didn't coin it. Republican, I can't even say
Republican-y.
But Thomas Jefferson, I mean, it would be hard for a despot to govern us if we had the Republican forms of government that they meant to establish.
I totally agree. Let's take a call. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yes, I was calling in to talk about the definition of republic. Something you said, Paul, that's really at the core of it is the contract aspect of it, the covenant.
Yeah, the covenant.
Now, by definition, if you look in the dictionary, it just says representative government. But if you send representatives and there's no contract that puts limit on the government, you're sending people that could be tyrants. And that doesn't make sense to or people say that they're being represented by people that can potentially be tyrants.
Mm-hmm. So well, that's
in all
what we're doing.
Republics in history, the true republics have had a contract. So the contract America today is the Constitution. The Romans, the founding fathers took a lot from the Romans. One of the reasons, it was the only other great republic in our history. And their contract, their law, was the 12 tables of Rome. And what do these contracts do? They provide freedom. How? Based on the principle that's so important, everybody should remember this. The essence of liberty is a limitation on government. And these contracts do that. They limit what government can do. So this is a really very important part of a republic. Now, one thing, other reason why people don't understand the definition, because a bunch of people have been calling republics that are the opposite of republics.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The Soviets, the communists, often call their governments republics, and that's full people. I had a friend that she was the refugee for the Soviet Union, and she hated republics because it
that's
was
what
communism.
They called it.
That's right.
So
yeah.
It's really important we learn it's
we
not
have
just
a big
it's
language
not just
problem,
but it's also a covenant that limits government.
Thank you. Love that.
I love that. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And just for the people who might just be joining us, that mm-hmm. the covenant aspect of it really is a dual incentive structure. Where people who want to rule can't get on the ballot without the permission of the representatives from the neighborhoods who will vet them and make sure that merit is what gets them there.
Sure.
Not money, fame, and incumbency.
And nice rhetoric. We have a lot of, it's broken and I'm going to fix it.
Right.
I mean, I'm so tired of hearing that and then they don't do a thing or they get bought and sold the second they get in.
So we do have representative government right now, but it's not bound by that dual incentive. It's not bound by that covenant. So it's like more of a trapping of the republic, but it's not the essence of what makes it work. That's what
good
you
got
to figure out.
It's
you got to get back to your states and figure out how to put republican forms of government back in place in each state.
Mm-hmm.
So true.
Go ahead.
So, well, anyway, John Adams, I'm just looking at some of these quotations. John Adams, remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself.
That's so true.
There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. He said that in 1814.
He talked a lot. John Adams talked a lot about, because I was reading their letters to each other, him and Abigail, his wife, and they were such great letters. But he talked a lot about being worried about the virtue of man, because he thought the virtue of man will bring the man down. And the minute that it brings the man down, the man cannot desire the republic, because the man would not know how to contain it, would not know how to maintain it, would not know how to what it's even about. Because he was comparing them to the Brits, and he was talking about the fact that they were whoring around a little, and he said that they were suffering from so much of their sin, like what they were doing, that they wouldn't know in their breast, he said, that what liberty is and how to defend it anymore, because it's so tied to actually God that you would, if you're these kind of credents out there, you would not even think about defending a republic. It wouldn't be in your mindset,
right?
Because you're the virtue of man.
When you understand what it really is, mm-hmm. you think of how powerful that is. The neighborhood council concept is mm-hmm. really it's families. You know, it's right. gathering of families. That's a big part of it. So
the virtue of the family, the virtue of the individual plays a huge part in self-governance.
So de Tocqueville was really smart mm-hmm. when he came here. I love this quote, and listen for this moment we're living in right now, the COVID moment.
Okay.
Thus, not only does democracy make every man forget his ancestors, but it hides his descendants and separates his contemporaries from him. It throws him back forever upon himself alone, and threatens in the end to confine him entirely within the solitude of his own heart.
Wow.
Democracy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not a democracy, but we keep getting told that on the news, and they love that word, and they want to embrace that word so that the youth don't ever think about a republic, ever. Don't even ask any questions about it.
See if you can wrap your mind around this one mm-hmm. from de Tocqueville. No form or combination of social polity has yet been devised to make an energetic people out of a community of pusillanimous and enfeebled citizens.
I think we're seeing
Ouch,
that.
Right.
So how do we do this? How do we get back? And you know, I've said again and again right now, just because it's hemorrhaging, stop doing the party thing. Do more about the lawsuit thing and curbing all of the government that they've heaped on us, like with the state of emergency. Pam Popper's doing wonderful with that. And Make Americans Free Again is a website. Make Americans Free Again. Americans with an S. MakeAmericansFreeAgain.com. And you can go there every Thursday night, and they gather because they're going after the state of emergency. Once that falls, then we also have to work on this aspect, because you have to then go in with the right frame of mind and the right education to understand what you're saving and why, right? To even maintain
it. By the way,
it.
I really like that, because that's kind of reigniting the ancient council fires.
Yeah.
That is. Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Be right. Remember the John Adams calling the midnight judges? Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it has to go to court. We still have a constitution. Be right back on the KTVU. Dally Show. More with Dr. Paul Gooch.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Dally Show.
Choked up.
I'm already having a hard time keeping my emotions in check while we're having this conversation today. You're not
so
helping
true.
Matters.
I know. I just got a letter from Ron Paul, and he was just commenting on an email, and he just said that shows like this are his hope in the future. And it just, I don't know. Anyway, welcome back. Welcome back to the show. We'll try to get through this. We have a lot at stake, and when I was reading John Adams, you know, letters to his wife during that time, what a telling way to talk about what was going on when we were trying to have America come forth, right? And he was saying how he was so worried about it. He was so worried about it because he was worried about all the sacrifice that was being made right then. He was worried about the fact that we wouldn't appreciate it, we wouldn't understand it, we wouldn't maintain it. He was worried. And he even said, you know, I should be, you know, just transported with enthusiasm right now, but I'm aware of the toil, the blood, the treasure that it will cost us to maintain this declaration, to support and defend these states. And he was so aware that, oh my gosh, we're doing all of this. Are you guys actually going to do this? No, in 2021, we're crapping all over it. Like, but this is, oh my gosh, we don't even, so many Americans don't even understand what we're losing.
Their humanity was just so good.
They're zombies. Yeah, I'm just, oh,
well, so there's
how
a lot
are we going
to
do this?
So there's a lot to learn from them. Like, let's ransack the records of history.
That's
James Wilson,
yes.
Right?
Yes,
in
very
fact,
optimistic.
We brought this up earlier, but I think it's worth re-mentioning that mm-hmm. this paradigm shift that our founding fathers had, that we weren't going to be ruled by people, not by arbitrariness, but by the rule of law, is seen in the letter to Abigail Adams to John, where she crossed out the word them, referencing the new government, and replaced it with it. Government
very
is
important.
It, not a them. That's, anyway, huge paradigm shift from that for them.
This was a hard paradigm shift. They've never done this before. They were just hoping that it would work.
No, seriously, like, they had to do this.
Right.
I mean, they had to, like, create something that, anyway, they're just...
So true.
I think...
I have Dr. Paul Gooch with me, by the way, if you're just joining us.
So let's talk about political parties a little tiny bit, because this is an important idea. Federalist 10. Mm. Read the Federalist Papers. If you want to... That's one great source. If you want to understand what our founding fathers were really thinking when they were creating Republican forms of government. And Madison in Federalist 10, he's explaining that... The problem with humanity is we factionalize, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to divide into parties no matter what. You can't stop that from happening. I mean, until, you know, yon glory when we are completely unified, there's no way we're not going to have parties. The answer is not whether we have parties or not, or whether there's five or two. The answer is the connected control that we're talking about. And he talks about that's almost the elephant in the room, our tendency to factionalize, and the expression of democratic forms of government always oppresses the minority. You can't get around that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he explains in Federalist 10 why Republican forms of government are the only way to protect against democratic oppression, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to find clues to what Republican forms of government really means, that's, you know, they lay out the philosophical understanding of why. And it's just, but it's human nature, right? They build a system that took advantage of the weaknesses of human nature instead of exploiting them to our oppression.
It's so true. You know, we were just listening to that Madison Rising song, God Bless America. And in the end, and it's really a beautiful statement because it's God Bless America, God Please Save America. But if you really notice back in the papers, and I noticed this, it was glaringly obvious. They did talk about God a lot. They talked about his divine intervention to have America. But they didn't ever say, God will save it. They said the people had to.
Right.
Right? And when I was listening to that, it brought up that memory for me that, wow, you know, we get to that point where we're like, well, you know, all we have to do is pray. No, that's not all we do. We have to do much more than that because we have to rely on that at the end of the day. We've got to rely on that because we're not going to get through this without that. But it kind of bypasses all the work we have to do together in forming these groups and in understanding how to educate and how to get out there. And Ron Paul made a statement about all the shows, all the people out there educating, because he said that was the key. That was the answer. Get your kids in his homeschool program. Let's get true history taught. Let's start really getting the people to work because we have not worked on this at all.
Well, so here we're talking about a republic being a covenant form of government. Mm-hmm. But you're really touching on an important point, and that is, this is such an interesting part. If you look at the tipping points in American history, we always face this insurmountable odds. We can go through lots of these stories. We don't have time today, but God shows up with a miracle that's just spectacular.
Yes.
Every tipping point in America, there's some really interesting miracle.
The fog rolling in on the battle.
In fact, that's part of why I'm so excited right now, because I look at where we're at, like, this is probably the worst tipping point we've ever experienced. Like, we're in more trouble than we ever have been. So where's the miracle?
Right.
I'm like watching for it. But the thing is, we do, like you say, we have to do our part. George Washington really showed the methodology there. Like, he relied on it. We do our part, and then we ask God for his part. You know, we ask God for the miracle.
That's what George Washington did.
He
How do you think the
it.
Fog rolled in, but he went to battle every day?
And he wasn't just on his knees.
He didn't just sit there.
He was on his knees, but it wasn't just that.
Right.
They did their part, and they tried to live. He encouraged his soldiers to you know, be devout. You know, you're going to fast and pray. We have this problem. And then he just expected the miracle, and he was such a faithful man. He got it.
Yep.
So that's a
and
that's,
those miracles depend on a lot of virtue in us too. We need to be a virtuous people again. And how do we reclaim that?
But you know, the real simple thing is what we're talking about, and we really need to go regather in groups, in groups of families, in neighborhoods. Somehow we have to reinstitutionalize the Republican form that we're talking about here, which really is nobody gets on the ballot unless they've been vetted by delegates who are elected in the neighborhoods. That's it. Like, that's the organizational secret that makes sure that we have the strength of unity at the same time protecting the rights of the individual polities. That's the organizational secret. Restore that in 50 states and you'll fix this problem.
So it
really kind of boils down to that.
That's so true.
In our state, Utah, we used to have that until pretty recently. We called it the caucus convention system.
They got rid of it.
So here's another word that I want to talk about, another historical word that has lost its meaning over time. And the best etymology I've ever seen is by a, hang on, I gotta find the right one here. Was done by a guy named Professor Williams. Sorry. William Harris. He was a professor of etymology at Middlebury College in Vermont, a pretty liberal college. I found this a few years ago when we first started trying to save our caucus system. What does the word mean? I thought, God, is this a Greek word? Is it, where did our found, how did this enter the lexicon? Well, it turns out that it's an Algonquin Indian word, and it means to gather in council. Right? So just such an interesting little piece of history there. It wasn't shipbuilders in Boston caulking their ships. It was really literally. In fact, the original word is Kalkawasu, in Professor William Harris's opinion, it's the only word in the political lexicon that is uniquely American.
From very interesting.
Our good Native American brothers, who where we got so many of the ideas of how to run a republic. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So there's a word that's kind of lost its meaning, but functionally that gathering in council, those neighborhood council fires, is the living republicanly.
Wow. So how do we get people educated enough and turned around enough to embrace this idea? You know, how many cities out there are utilizing community properties for meetings, for open meetings, for people to come in and speakers to come and to be educated on this?
Yeah, so the first step is we have to relearn what all this means, honestly. Before we can even fix it, we have to relearn what it means. Yesterday, when I was driving to work, listening to your show, I have a confession to make. I listened to your show on 1.5 speed in a mad dash because I have to find some way to squeeze it all in. I love it. And on my way to work yesterday, I'm like, okay, come on, we need to have this conversation on the air. And then I'm like, well, how do I point people to, like, how are they going to find this information? So I just created a Facebook page and started sticking stuff in there. And then maybe what we can do is flesh that out a little bit. Well, I called it Remembering Our Broken Republic, I think is what I called it. And I thought I would try and have something. But I don't have time to put it all together before we got on the air. But I wanted to make sure there's some way so people can kind of come and look for the historical quotes. And where do you find the juice to get interested in figuring out what all this really means?
I love that. Let's take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Kate, great show.
Thanks. Thank you.
Check out George Washington speaking about the teeth of liberty.
Okay, you got it.
The keys of liberty, is that what he said? The chiefs of liberty, is that what?
Is that what you said?
I don't know if we lost him.
Anyway.
The chiefs of liberty, I didn't hear it quite either. But
Oh, there's so many great quotes out there. There's so many. All you have to do is
the stories.
You know what? And here's the other thing. They were going through so much of what we're going through now. And I hope people realize this, because a lot of people think that we can't do anything. And that's not true. You know, the founders had their own set of issues and problems that they were dealing with day to day, and they didn't know day to day what was going to happen and uncertainty, and they were dealing with their enemies. And so I'm just telling you, there were so many parallels that I hope that gives people some comfort, knowing that no matter what time period you want to look at, even Ron Paul was talking about, look, in the 60s, we had all these murders of JFK and his brother and MLK. He said, I mean, can you imagine? They were just being murdered. I mean, we have had decades upon decades and centuries of all kinds of things that we've had to get through. We're not the first population. We just thought we had it easier. But we're now going to have to clean up this mess that we've produced.
Right.
And so we have got to start educating and get this kind of thing out and have this understanding, because we actually can fight this. We can fight this. I know it seems too big. You've got the NSA, you've got all these other things, but we can do it. It's just, we kind of think that we're the only ones with this thing that we can't beat. No, are you kidding? They had worse odds in the revolution. They had worse odds. Like they were never supposed to win.
Right.
Outgunned, outmanned, you name it. They were never supposed to win that. But they still risked it all. And so are we willing to risk anything? Are you willing to have some courage and at least take the mask off? Because that's part of all this that's going on right now.
So the page I put together, I titled it Remembering America's Forgotten Republic. And I just threw some of my thoughts in it already. Like there's some content that needs to be put in there. But I would say I'm willing to help if there are key people from states across the country who want to have the conversation about what this means. I know what this means, and I'm willing. I'm a busy guy. I have I have a clinic. I have to run a clinic. My job consumes almost all of my energy. But, you know, for the history that we know why this matters. So I am willing, if anybody wants to contact me, or we'll try and put this, we'll start to compile some information and put it up.
Boy, it's great. You brought some great stuff to the show today. So, really appreciate
it. And it really
you.
Is like a 3-hour presentation. I've done a few times trying to like figure out how to squeeze it between right? commercials, right?
Right. I know. And you did a bang up job, let me just tell you, because this is tough. Oh. I mean, you get interrupted all the time and it's insane and I'm talking too much. And so, yes, but I will say thank you, Paul, for coming in and teaching some of this because it gets us back to our roots.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate what you do so much. Thank you, Kate.
Well, I know you love this country. So do I. And I know all you do too. And that's why you're listening today. And I do hope you share these hours with the show with your friends and family and talk about these things at the dinner table. This is where that education starts. And we stopped eating together. We stopped eating dinner together as families. I don't know what in the world happened.
Fellowship is dead everywhere.
I know. We've got to get that back. Thanks again, Paul. You were amazing. A big shout out to Ron Paul and, of course, Alan Stevo. Face masks in one lesson. Get the book. Be faithful. Be fearless. Be fearless. Get your courage. Get your courage for the weekend. Everybody, see you on Monday.